Welcome to Turning Points Cheekast. I'm your host, Robert Bauer. This program features an interview with Dr. Norman Shealy and Dr. Susan Russell. Dr. Shealy is an eminent physician with a long and successful career in both conventional and complementary medical practice. As the founder of the American Holistic Medical Association, he advises several medical institutes and journals and has held 16 academic appointments. Currently the president of Holos University Graduate Seminary, Dr. Shealy is the author of 22 books. Dr. Susan Russell is the founder of Turning Point Healing Center. She is an acupuncturist, psychotherapist, and body-mind-spirit healer. She has studied more than 20 energy modalities that encompass release from allergies, phobias, blocks to inner consciousness and awareness, and archetypal structures. She holds a master's in psychiatric social work, is a board-certified state-licensed acupuncturist, and she has studied with Dr. Shealy and Carolyn Miss through the Holos University Graduate Seminary. She has a PhD in integrative energy medicine and a THD in the theology of holism. Doctors Shealy and Russell discuss their current practices, research, ideas, and challenges for the future. Please enjoy this interview. You can listen to the Turning Points Cheekast at turningpointhc.com.
When you first became aware of Dr. Shealy and his practice, how did that happen?
Yeah. I didn't know if you even knew the story, but really.
Oh, yeah.
That's a case in point of following really the providence or the energy around you and walking through that door.
Exactly.
Because you are a person of such great integrity, and the program you put together, to me, was an amazing feat, especially at that time that it was being introduced. You know, to start that doctoral program on energy medicine and to really go around the country and talk about it and bring an awareness to people and invite students in to study with you.
Well, I honestly, without it being as clear when it happened as it is now, but back in the 70s, I began to recognize that American medicine has lost its path, that physicians, even in the mid-70s, were already beginning to be pawns of the pharmacomafia. And they were not open to innovation and change. In fact, when I started the American Holistic Medical Association in 1978, a former friend and professor of neurosurgery wrote an editorial that accused the leaders of the holistic movement of being too charismatic and speaking too well, as if that's a problem. And then wound up saying, we're too busy taking care of disease to try to prevent it. And to me, that's sick. And so I began to recognize in the mid to late 70s that the future is really in the hands of the public and those people who are working outside the major medical system, which for the last 5 years, according to Tommy Thompson, who at the time was secretary of HEW, is on the verge of total collapse, and I can't think of a better thing to happen.
Yes.
We know that the number three published by the AMA cause of death is the medical system. And of course, there are some people, including Dr. Paul Roche, a professor of internal medicine in New York, who believe that it's the number one cause of death. Because a lot of deaths from drugs, especially in chemotherapy, are not reported as being complications of the treatment. They're reported as being the disease. And I honestly believe that more people are killed prematurely by chemotherapy than are helped.
So would you say that it's not only, maybe the number three ranking is the result of the actual administration and practice of the allopathic approach, but what would maybe take it to number one is the fact that the way that they look at and describe health and wellness and the things that they miss, as well as the things that they misinterpret, are also causing the illnesses, the deaths, and et cetera, because it's not really through practice, but it's what they're teaching.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, part of the problem begins, a big part of the problem begins in medical school, because most medical schools are associated with hospitals where the most serious acute problems come in. So students are told and trained in taking care of serious acute illness. But that's about 15% at the most of total illness. And so when you start treating a chronic illness the way you would an automobile accident, it actually creates problems.
It compounds it, and that's what you're also saying, I think, about the chemotherapy, right?
Oh, I think that's one of the worst things that we've introduced. But the second worst, well, you know, they're all the three top bad ones, in my opinion, are statin drugs for cholesterol, the big antidepressant drug group, and then the anxiety drugs, and then the chemotherapy drugs. Those four categories probably create three-quarters of all medical problems.
Norm, I had a client come in a few days ago to tell me that a two-year-old was being prescribed statins for cholesterol issues.
Oh, I know. I consider that barbarian insanity. I mean, I can't think of, I probably can't in something you're going to put out tell you what I really think about. I know I've got to learn to express myself in better words, but you know.
Yeah, be creative.
Well, it stinks, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the average client that actually comes in our office, Norm, often comes in with a shopping bag full of prescriptions, anywhere from 5 to 20 prescriptions.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, that's how I started back in 1971 when I decided that the conventional medicine approach to chronic pain sucked and was just making people worse. My average patient had had between 5 and 7 unsuccessful back operations. And, you know, common sense has told me, and observation would tell anybody, it's like marriage. If the first one doesn't work, the second one is less likely to work. And that's even more true when it comes to back surgery. The record in my own practice was a man who had had 52 back operations. I mean, I don't know how they could get in there.
Yeah, I would be surprised he's got a back left.
Well, he has a scar from top to bottom. I had another woman who had been fused 7 times in 14 years, and they had marched from the sacrum right up to her neck. Crazy. But that's no worse than putting a 2-year-old on a statin drug.
Right.
Or a 5-year-old on some stupid drug for ADHD, because basically these are just bright kids who need a lot of activity.
Yes.
And a few supplements.
Yes.
Well, obviously we're talking to the choir.
But it is fun to enjoy that, you know, singing those same hymns together.
Yeah.
Well, it is. And it is important for the choir to grow.
Yes.
And that's what this is all about. And so when I realized that the medical profession, in my opinion, is hopeless, and only when some huge catastrophe takes place is it going to change, I began to do a lot of lecturing to the public, and eventually then we decided the best thing to do is to train students to do these alternatives, because 95%+ of everything I did for 30 years does not even require a physician. It requires, you know, certain knowledge and certain techniques, but they're not part of medicine, which is good. I mean, look how hard acupuncture has been fought.
Yes.
I began doing acupuncture in 1967, and it was fought throughout the 80s and 70s and 80s and well into the 90s.
Yeah, even today, clients will come in and think it's only for pain, not understanding the full range and scope that it does.
Of course.
And I actually used the Shiele Rings of Life with the acupuncture very successfully with a lot of people, even though we've had great success with the water and the Ring of Fire an average of 3 pounds overnight just from the one treatment.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Yes.
How many longer-term ones do you have like that?
We've had clients lose up to 50 or 60 pounds.
Wow.
Just from staying steady with the treatment. So you're
balancing.
And how
often do you treat them?
In the beginning, they'll do 2 to 3 times a week. Then they'll taper off as the system gets stronger. And then they'll do like a once a week towards the end. And then basically it's a seasonal balance for them, unless they're really in a lifestyle that they haven't chosen to change. And then they'll have to come in a little more often.
Now, do you make any major dietary changes?
We do ask for that because we use the Chinese principle of the direction and flow of energy that's going through the food. So we take them off of what we call the dampness foods.
Right.
And try to build a little more fire within them. Take them off of ice, you know, drinks with ice and cold food, things like that as well. And then sometimes we'll supplement with herbs. We do also successfully use the liquid magnesium that's yours. And that's done a really fantastic job of helping them to move forward as well.
Well, it sounds wonderful. And have you done anything else with the free radicals?
Yes, we continue to use, you know, the treatment for free radicals in the office. And the one thing that occurred during the research, most of the clients indicated that they had a change in their emotional well-being.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, we have people come in and say, you know, I finally asked for a raise, or I sat down with my kids and said, this is what's not working. We're going to change things around here. And that was just after the 3 consecutive days.
My suspicion is, much like your treatment for obesity, that actually, you know, we did it 3 days and suggested you do it 3 days in your dissertation because that's what we'd done with the Sheila tents.
Right.
My suspicion is that acupuncture has a perhaps more prolonged effect, and maybe twice a week would be adequate. For the free radical reduction, and maybe after a while, once a week or less.
I'll actually track that, because we can do that.
You know, keep me in your loop of how you're getting results, and maybe we'll want to do my newsletters on it sometime.
Oh, excellent.
You know, I love to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yes, and I got your email on the research grant.
And again, I answered that and said, go for it.
Okay, excellent. So we're gonna try to do that this weekend.
Good.
Yeah, and I also used the music bed. I don't think I showed you that when you came in to do the lecture, but I did a music bed actually in a cabinet that I had. It works very well. People really love that. In fact, when they come in, they don't want to be taken to another treatment room once they've been in there.
Now, I've just applied for a patent on my latest Rejuvimatrix thing. You know, you may have read something or heard something. I haven't talked much about it. My telomere short lengthening project?
No.
Well, you know, 15 years ago, I had this sudden intuitive, blueprint of a copper pyramid. And we treated 75 people in there with a Tesla coil attached to it. And we got 70% success in people in 2 weeks, just having people an hour a day, 5 days a week, 70% success in depression, back pain, and rheumatoid arthritis. And I gave it up because I figured I'll never get this through the FDA. And so actually, as a result of that, I developed the Sheila tents and the rings.
So actually that gives a broader amount of people access to that technology.
Right. And on the other hand, a year and a half ago, I suddenly woke up at 4 a.m. with the blueprint back in my eyes, and I said, uh-oh, the message is I'm supposed to do something with this. And it occurred to me that basically this is irradiating, and I don't like to use the word, it's bathing the body in human DNA frequency.
Right.
And we do absorb these frequencies through the skin. So I came back and decided, well, if that's true, it ought really to prevent the body from aging.
Oh, that would make sense because that's one of the premises with acupuncture as well, is to keep balancing the body back to its original state.
Well, we did just 6 people, had them sit in it 30 minutes, 5 days a week. At the end of 3 months, the telomeres had grown 1%. They usually shrink 1% a year. At the end of 10 months, which we just did a few weeks ago, they had grown an average of 2.9%. And that's really getting close to 3.9%, better than, you know, than ordinary.
Yes.
Considering that there's no shrinkage. Well, I've redesigned it now so that we have a tube that can be put on the bed and people can turn it on while they're asleep. Don't have to waste any of their precious time. In fact, the last 6 months of what we did, we converted all the people from the pyramid to the bed product. And now I'm on the verge of hoping, I've got an IRB proposal I just submitted to do 1,000 people over a 5-year project.
Oh, excellent.
Because I do think that if I can prove over a 5-year period that telomeres continue to grow, the potential for health as well as longevity is really quite remarkable. And so sooner or later, I suspect you'll want to add a rejuvenatrix to your...
Well, I've got
clinic.
That written right down. Norm, what was your experience like coming into Atlanta to do the your presentation on Life Beyond 100?
Well, of course, I've spoken a number of... In fact, I spoke in 42 cities 2 years ago on Life Beyond 100. And the interesting thing about it is that even people who came to that, there's a huge percentage of people who are not only not motivated to live beyond 100, but who don't want to live to 100.
Yes, a lot of people aren't even happy to be in life. They're like, why would I want to live that long?
Exactly.
And I'm like, why wouldn't you? Isn't it fun?
I know, you know, I think, and then there's that other, the other people who say, oh, I want to get off the cycle of birth and rebirth. Hey, why not just keep working as long as it's pleasant?
You know, my personal experience with that, Norm, is I've always felt that I was put here to do and certain things and accomplish certain things, and right now at current course and speed, I'll be 150 before I check out. And I really, I'll be 51 next week, and I have two daughters, 19 and 20, and they look at me and they say, Dad, why do you want to live that long? And I said, why not?
Well, you know, that's interesting. As you may know, in my book, I said average life should be 140 plus or minus 20 for accidents and genes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the earliest somebody should die is 120. And I unequivocally believe we have the potential of living to 160.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows beyond. But at this moment in technology, I think that's what we've got. And there's so much stuff to do.
Yes, there is. It's exciting. My grandmother actually played tennis till she was in her mid-90s and only stopped because she tripped on a clay court when her foot, the sneaker, caught under the tape.
Mm.
Otherwise, she still would have been playing straight through. So the human body can retain its resilience.
Well, and my great-grandmother at 101 and a half, no, I think she's 101 when I first last saw her, was in her kitchen canning, getting ready for winter. And I said, Grandma, how do you feel? She said, Bud, I feel just as good as I did when I was 16. And she died quietly in her sleep at 102 and a half. And to me, that's the way life should be. As long as you're doing something useful.
Yeah, I think that's one of the keys. A lot of people have not found that niche, or maybe they're just so depressed they can't find a joy for themselves in something, whether it's big or small.
Well, I think you're right, Susan. You know, basically, I think the number one human need is to help other people, to nurture people. But if you feel or felt deprived for whatever reason, you go through life depressed and not wanting to help other people because you want it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad because it's so much need and there's so much fun in helping people.
Yeah, and there's a great joy in seeing the results too.
Exactly.
Seeing people really get it and begin to kind of take off again in their own lives.
Well, and that's what your whole practice is all about, and it's what my practice for 30 plus years was about. And it's what our school is all about. This is preparing people to optimize the way of helping other people.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up. One of the things that I'm looking at and working with Dr. Russell on is taking the multiple modalities, the integrated energy approach that she uses in her practice. And it's been amazing over the last few weeks talking to people and getting their stories about the results they've had from everything from cancer to emotional psychosis, imbalances, allergies. It doesn't matter. There is always some very positive result that they weren't expecting, and quite frankly, we're not getting results, if anything else, getting worse with, you know, traditional approaches. Well, the thing that's interesting is it's a number of the people that I've talked to, and this has been my experience. I became a shiatsu practitioner back in 85 and started to learn about the whole approach to meridians and herbology and all of that and the physiology and applied kinesiology, and it was just fascinating to me. But when I would talk to people, they'd say, what language are you speaking? And even with Dr. Russell's patients that we've talked to, the most common thing is, I don't know what she did, I don't know what they call it. All I know is it works.
Well, yeah, I think that's really interesting. And if you've got that kind of success, even in psychosis, here's a place where the students can outshine me. I have no experience in working with psychotics.
I started out in med psych at emergency receiving units at the State Psych Hospital. So I feel I came out of a MASH unit. And I'm just taking those principles, been able to really apply a lot of the different techniques and do a hybrid kind of movement on psychosis, and it's really been quite successful. I once treated a young man who was schizophrenic. He had a hard time kind of ambulating in the office, and he was pacing a lot. I said to the mother, visa an intuitive hit, let's take you in the back and work on you. And I did the ghost gate points on her back, which are for psychosis. He normalized.
Wow.
So that's also another example of a body surrogate. One Susan, would have to ask who was sick.
You've got to write that up, Susan.
Okay.
That is a case report that needs to be published.
Yeah, it was amazing.
You know, that's phenomenal, because that I would not know. Now I want to ask about shiatsu for a moment, since that's been brought up.
Mm-hmm.
I had my first shiatsu treatment in 1971. I'd love to see how effective shiatsu would be applied to the rings.
All right.
You know, my suspicion, in fact, I've been teaching it in my workshops for the last year, is that people who are really focused, tapping on the points and then visualizing, would get almost as good results as with the shilitans. Now, it depends, I'm sure, on their attitude, their belief system, etc. But I have a strong feeling it could work.
You know, that would make sense just from a pure energy perspective. And you think about it from the standpoint of balancing the energy.
Mm-hmm.
You're working with the channels, the meridians, the flow of that energy in the various points where they are either open or closed or conjected and stored or just way too open or not connected and balanced with some of the other points. When you're using techniques that Dr. Russell uses, when you balance across different points and meridians,
mm-hmm.
and you think about it from a pure energy perspective. So I think that's fascinating. I have it as a to-do, and we'll go explore that.
Well, the easy one to do, of course, is crystal.
Yes, I was just thinking that, because we could even do a side-by-side. A group that does the acupuncture, a group that does the shiatsu with the color visualization, and Robert's actually doing the music on the CDs on our series called The Body of Chi.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the other things that I'm
very... We could add that as well.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me in working with Dr. Russell's approach and the different things. I was trying to get into this a little bit earlier. I'd like to understand what your experience is in trying to help people understand psychologically, emotionally, and so forth, what this integrative energy approach is. And a lot of the people that we've interviewed have said, I don't know what it is, I don't know what she did, all I know is that it works. So in putting together the series of techniques, at least in an audio perspective initially, we're calling it the body of chi, and using the Chinese word and definition as a global sense of energy. But one of the important things right up front is that there's Eastern philosophy and techniques and understanding, and then there's Western. And there's always the conflict. We try to create a confluence of the two, but there's always missing data or misinterpretation or some missing links, if you will. But I think what I'm seeing right now, specifically as it relates to, on the Western side, quantum mechanics and string theory and the electric universe and so forth, what they're actually describing is what the Chinese and a number of different ancient cultures have described as natural law for thousands of years, and that's just the way that energy works and it manifests itself. Right now, looking at defining the work that Dr. Russell is doing, we're calling it the fields of chi.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all the different dimensions and energies with which energy exists in the different fields.
I don't have any problem with that, of course. I've always, since I first, I started doing acupuncture spontaneously in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed to me to be a reasonable thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we physically are piezoelectric.
Mm-hmm.
And piezoelectric, of course, means that when you put a physical pressure into it, it converts it to electricity.
Mm-hmm.
our skeleton, our muscles, our tendon, and even our intestines are piezoelectric, so that everything in your body is physically affected, even by sound, talking, because, I mean, if you put your hand on top of your head and you say something, you'll feel your whole head is resonating. Well, that goes all the way down to your toes. And so we know that the piezoelectric effect is a major function of the human body. We're like giant quartz crystals.
So it is another way to say that is not only in sound, but in light and in even the matter, the manifestation of energies, it's all some kind of different frequency base?
Oh, absolutely. And remember, our human DNA that essentially is the foundation for life is vibrating at 54 to 78 billion cycles per second.
Which is in the range of the sun as well, isn't it?
That's right. Well, the sun even goes up to 300 gigahertz. But the sun, if you're outside, is putting out everywhere the 54 to 78 billion at 1/10 billionth of a watt per centimeter square. The field effect that I'm producing with the Rejuvimatrix is 1/1,000,000,000 of a watt. So it's 10 times the strength of the sun, but still homeopathic. So I call it solar homeopathy.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that's great.
And the body does need to be revibrated because we have so much chemistry, not even looking at the allopathic approach, but just in the food chain.
Exactly. Another interesting thing, of course, and I've never fully gotten this one, well, clear, but plants have a DNA of 47 billion cycles per second. 42. Plants are 42 billion cycles per second. Animals are 47 billion cycles per second. So when you take, for instance, and eat food, you've got to raise the vibration to create a human body from 42 or 45 up to 54 to 78 billion cycles per second.
Right. And the average person's eating food that doesn't even resonate at that. Like maybe resonates at the minus 52 or minus 500. Some of this food isn't food.
Well, if you look at what the average American is eating, it's amazing that we stay alive.
Yes. Or even think and function.
Well, and most people, unfortunately, the interesting article that I saw just this morning, sitting, for instance, actually strikingly decreases the body's ability to produce lipase. So you can't dissolve the whole fat in your body even.
I believe that.
And it makes so much sense. I would guess that although food is certainly a phenomenal change in the last 75 years, that inactivity of sitting all day may be the biggest change in 10,000 years.
Well, the coccyx also pumps the lymph, so I would think that the sitting has that additional effect of not allowing for, you know, discarding of debris from the body.
Well, you know, I sit all day when I'm working at my computer on an exercise ball.
Yes.
And you can't not move. I mean, even breathing, you're doing more moving than you are sitting still. And, of course, when I'm talking on the phone, doing other things, I sort of play around and move, so I keep active. And there's another study that showed that fidgeters, even those sitting in regular chairs that who fidget, burn 300 to 600 calories more per day than people who are not fidgeters.
Share your story. On the meetings you would hold standing up rather than sitting down.
Yeah, when I was involved in the corporate world, I got to a point where I felt that there was had to be a different way to get things done, and I noticed, and I would had already, I'm also a Tai Chi instructor, so I was involved in Tai Chi and working at least on the Shiatsu side personally with my family and friends, and I would notice that, you know, the people that were working for me either had some kind of sedentary or lethargic approach to themselves and what their responsibilities were, so I got tired of sitting in meetings and watching people fall asleep, you know, slouch in the chairs and so forth. So I started having meetings without chairs.
How wonderful.
And it was amazing how once they got over the shock of thinking, well, he's just doing this to mess with us, and then they finally realized that I was very serious. When they got into those meetings, stuff got done.
But it's interesting, you know, Thomas Jefferson, the Jefferson desk was a standing desk.
Yes. Yeah, to allow for that flow. And we know energetically with the channels, I mean, dew is rising right up to the brain, and sitting on it At that point, you're probably cutting off at Ming Men from the belts that most people wear.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to not ascending around the coccyx right up into to the brain area.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you, I noticed on the secret code, you, at one point, you took the three patients out. You had them down for the exercise segment. You have a health writer.
Oh, I love it.
When I saw that, I thought, oh, my God, I don't know anybody else that has one.
Well, I went on the Internet yesterday. But I had a fat person, my financial advisor. I told him, you know, I'm much more of an expert at health than you are at financial advising. He's 100 pounds overweight. So I had him come out, and I showed him my health rider. And I looked it up on the Internet. I paid $499 for mine 13 years ago. You can get it for $399 now. And they say there have been a million of them sold.
Wow.
Well, that really works all aspects of the body in a coordinated movement, which, again, would flow lymph and chi and blood and everything
mm-hmm.
else.
I say it exercises every muscle in your body except your head.
Well, maybe if they put on the Sheely Relax Mate, you could add to that. You know, Norm, we use the Sheely Relax Mate when we do the ionic baths, and we also have hydrocolonic therapy in the center, and we put that on when they're in session as well.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah. Anything to help people get some extra relaxation.
Yes, and we find it improves the detox.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Dramatically.
Dr. Sheely, one of the things that I was interested in about your practice and what you're doing is sound therapy and sound healing.
Well, of course, music, in my opinion, many, many forms of music, I don't think acid rock's any good, but even even regular rock and jazz are good.
Uh-huh.
But there's no question, and there are lots and lots of studies on just the use of music itself as a therapeutic model for lots of things. And then one of our graduate students did her doctoral dissertation measuring the clumping of red blood cells, compared it in people listening to music versus listening plus feeling it on one of the music beds. And there was a highly statistically significant decrease in red blood cell clumping when they felt the music as well as heard it.
That's a physiological response, right?
Well, there we are again, because you're increasing the piezoelectric effect.
So using sound to stimulate the piezoelectric effect, do you think that there is ways to target the harmonies and the frequencies to certain areas or conditions and use that as a form of therapy?
Oh, I think so. It hasn't been worked out adequately, but I think so. In fact, actually, just a little over a year ago, I bought another toy called the Power Vibe. And you stand on it, and you can sit on it, and you can lie across it and move. But mainly, it vibrates the entire body at anywhere from 20 in increments of 5 up to 50 cycles per second. And there's some excellent evidence that the higher frequencies increase muscle strength, the lower frequencies help bone and prevent treat osteoporosis. Using it at all increases both growth hormone and testosterone production.
Excellent.
Is there anything else that that you'd like to share with us about what you're doing with your practice with the university? Obviously, this new project you're talking about with the vitamin D3 is very interesting. Is there another DVD, a series of education?
As a matter of fact, we're working on a whole virtual program in a wide variety of things related to medical renaissance and holistic health in general. And we're also working on one called Mad Stress.
Now, did you say that was an online?
Yeah, it's all going to be online.
And that'll be available on your sites that you have currently with the university and the medical renaissance?
Yes, coming soon to a mm-hmm. computer near you.
That's just exactly what the Fields of Chi with Dr. Russell and Turning Point is. It's coming soon to an internet by you.
Good you.
So you're working on that. And when do you think, when do you expect you'll have those available?
Oh, hopefully within the month.
Mm-hmm. We would love to link to your site as well and share links.
Absolutely.
Okay, that would be great.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you both. Great talk.
Well, thank you. It's been my honor and pleasure to meet you. I've been, like I said, enjoying the DVD and your works, and I am just absolutely thrilled to know that there's somebody else out there that feels and thinks the way that Dr. Russell thinks and the way that I think. And there hopefully is going to be more of a proliferation, this kind of awareness.
Well, it's no longer just carrying coals to Newcastle. The coal mine is expanding.
And we are carrying those coals. We got to make sure everybody else gets a piece of those coals, too.
With some bright embers.
Yes.
That's right.
Hey, thank you. Have a great
weekend.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you
very
much.
Thank you for taking time.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
You.